Good evening, one and all. We thank God that we can come again tonight to remember Him, especially His death on the cross for us. As you know, that my topic this evening is the revelations of the cross. Although I talk about the suffering of Christ, but the main theme of my message is the love of God. The love of God. So tonight, we like to remember, first of all, the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we are able to see His love for us. And this is something that we need to remember each time when we worship the Lord, especially on the Good Friday night. We must keep in mind that Christ suffered greatly even before the crucifixion. Many of us think that He suffered just on the cross, but even before the cross, He suffered greatly. Let me lead you through the route that He traveled, the suffering that He gone through. In Gethsemane, He almost expired as He gazed with horrified amazement into the cup that He soon must drink. Then we notice that He was first struck in the presence of the high priest. He was subjected to a series of blows as the temple guards blindfolded Him. They mockingly challenged Him to identify them as they passed by, spitting upon Him and striking in His face. Next, He was scourged under Pilate. Scourging was the most cruel punishment at that time. It had been known as half-dead, scorching, nicknamed halfway dead. That means the Lord Jesus Christ was beaten until he was going to die. That kind of situation. They mockingly challenged, they stripped Jesus naked, tied Him down, and used the deadly whip to rip off His skin from the bones. Just think about that, how much He suffered. In the presentation of Jesus to the Pilate, the Roman soldiers make fun of Him. They strip Jesus, clothe Him in the Roman short cloak, crown Him with thorns, and beat Him on the face until He was unrecognizable. They bow their knees, worship Him, and mock Him as a king. So we can see from here, Jesus suffered greatly even before He was crucified on the cross. What can we see from the sufferings of Christ and His death on the cross? Answer, we see His love. We see His love. Let us see a little bit more of His suffering when He began His journey to the place of Golgotha or Calvary. Mark Gospel, the passage that we read, tells us very little about His final journey to the cross. Why? Because everyone in Roman Empire knew the details very well. So Mark did not elaborate in this area in this regard. But however, I would like to tell you or show it to you from other parts of the Gospel. It tells us that on His journey to Golgotha, Jesus Christ was placed in the center of a company of four Roman soldiers. The crossbeam weighed about 100 pounds. That is very heavy. I can't even carry that. Weigh 100 pounds, carry the cross. That's not the end. Have to walk a long distance to Golgotha. Think about it. How far can you walk with that kind of weight putting on your shoulder? And he had to carry that. As he stumbled along the route, an officer preceded him carrying a wooden placard written the description of Jesus' crime. What is was written there? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He was led on the longest route for the people to see, so that fear would be instilled throughout the city as a deterrent to the crime. As he tread through the journey, weakened by the loss of blood, an innocent bystander named Simon, that we have read just now, was compelled by the soldiers to carry the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus could not take it anymore. At the place of execution, the Roman soldiers gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. This drink was actually a painkiller given by the soldiers to the convict before execution to reduce the pain. Jesus refused it. Why? Why he refused to take such an important medicine? Well, he rejected any form of relief for his sufferings because he wanted to maintain clarity of mind to the end, bearing the full weight of his suffering on the cross for our sin. That's the main thing. Secondly, he wanted to maintain the full clarity of mind to minister to the dying thief, as well as to pronounce the rest of his wondrous seven words, last words on the cross. I will mention later on a few of them. So Jesus Christ maintained clarity of mind so that he can speak with understanding. Arrived at Calvary, Golgotha, Simon cast the cross down to the ground. Heavy, you know, he cast it down. And Jesus was thrown to the ground upon it, and spikes were driven through his hands. The cross was raised up by four soldiers, with Jesus dangling from it and fastened to a standing post. Then Jesus' feet were nailed, probably with a single spike, to the post. Jesus began to struggle upwards for breath and slumber down again in exhaustion. Oh, my friend, it was a great physical suffering. Second is, crucifixion was the lowest form of degradation. The Gentiles refrained even to mention the word cross. The Jews would remember the Old Testament from the book of Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. And here it says, "For he that is hanged is accursed of God." And the Jews misapply this passage to the Lord Jesus Christ. They regard Jesus Christ as a curse of God. This was the lowest form of degradation, and Jesus was willing to submit to such humiliation. The death of Christ on the cross was indeed a stumbling block to the Jews and the Gentiles. To the Jews and Gentiles alike, they wonder, they pass, who would believe that God would die in the human hand? If it is so, then he is a weak God. The Roman worship those heroes like Hercules, all these powerful men, but not a person who kneeled on the cross. If that is the case, you go and preach the gospel, it's not easy, right? First thing, they say you're talking rubbish. So that is the way the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. However, the cross reveals the love of God. It reveals the love. That's a revelation of the cross, the love of God. Did Jesus know that he would crucify on the cross? Did he know? Well, a popular British preacher by the name of Dr. Leslie Weatherhead said, "I think the answer to that question must be no. I don't think Jesus thought that at the beginning of his ministry, he came with the intention that men should follow him, not kill him. But the Bible makes it clear that the cross of Christ was neither a divine afterthought or a human accident. For Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And therefore, Jesus knew it even before the creation. Before the creation. Therefore, his death on the cross was not an afterthought or accident." Another reason Jesus knew about his death and crucifixion. You know how he knows? Because he perfectly understood the Old Testament. The atoning sacrifice of the Messiah was clearly taught in the Old Testament in types and prophecy. The entire sacrificial system and the priesthood were types and shadows of the good things to come. Jesus knew what every Jew knew, that the heart of that system was written in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have," God said, "I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the souls." You know what? Jesus knew all these things, what it meant by this verse, that he must come to this world to sacrifice for our sin. Then our sin can be forgiven. Now, the first picture of the sacrifice is mentioned in Psalm 40, verse 6 and 7. This prophecy, Psalm 40, verse 6 and 7, is concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would give himself as a burnt offering in total surrender to God against sin. And therefore, he came into this world, he said these words, quoted by the book of Hebrews 10, 5 to 7. He says this, sacrifice and offering thou would not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then, lo, I come. In the volume of the books, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So Jesus Christ came to do the will of God, to present himself as a sacrifice, to die on the cross for our sin. Now the word sacrifice refers to any animal's offering, including trespass offering and peace offering. And the word offering refers to meal and drinks offering. By his death on the cross, Jesus satisfied the requirement of the entire sacrificial system and thereby put an end to that system, sacrificial system, forever. He accomplished it with one offering, what millions of animals on the altars could not accomplish. You know why? Why this animal could not accomplish, cannot wash away our sin? The reason is this. Hebrews 10 verse 4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." You know what? Jesus must die. And the sacrifice is a picture of Jesus Christ, how he would die. So the Lamb of God was a vivid picture of the death of Christ, not only in the Old Testament, but found in the Gospel of John. All right, this is the first thing we know. Secondly, the picture of the death of Christ is found in John Gospel, is the temple. It's a temple. The Lord Jesus Christ knew it, and he mentioned about the temple. And what did he say about the temple? Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Now, this is one of the many metaphorical utterances by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not speaking of the building of the temple. He was not speaking of a physical building at all. He was speaking about what? About his body. John chapter 2, verse 21. He was speaking of his body. At our Lord's trial, some of the witnesses quoted this statement as proof that the Lord Jesus Christ was enemy of the Jews. You know why? Because he said he's going to destroy this temple. See, they could not understand. But actually was not referring to the physical temple. They were wrong. Jesus was speaking of his death, and not only of his death, he also speaks of his resurrection. And therefore, he says that in 3 days, I will raise it up. He knew about his death, and he knew about his resurrection. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew about his death. Thirdly, the third picture of the crucifixion is the uplifted serpent. I think all of you know this very well. Jesus told Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why? Because, and he gave the reason why. He says in verse 16, "For God so loved the world," because of love, he loved the world, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, Nicodemus was familiar with the story, if this story recorded in Numbers chapter 21. But he must have been shocked to learn that the promised Messiah would have to endure such kind of death. Never heard before. And he was puzzled. He was puzzled. How could it be? How can it be? How could it be? He was puzzled for three reasons why he was puzzled. First of all, how could Jesus, the Son of God, compare himself a serpent? Impossible. It's a wrong comparison. But that's what Jesus compared himself as a serpent. He was lifted up as a serpent on our behalf. Secondly, he was puzzled because he had been taught that the redeemed Messiah would remain forever, would not die. And now Jesus says he's going to die. How could it be? Thirdly, to be hung on the cross was ultimate humiliation. It was the same thing as being put under a curse. The text says, for who is hanged is a curse of God. How can the Son of God put under the curse? Nicodemus could not understand all these things. But on the cross, Jesus was made a curse for us, and thereby redeem us from the curse of the law. And that is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. The fourth picture of his death is the seed buried in the ground to produce fruit, found in John chapter 12, verse 20 to 28. The emphasis is on Jesus' willingness to give his life so that the Father might be glorified. That's the emphasis here. We read in verse 23 and 24 of John chapter 12, he says this, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, and it abideth alone, but if it die, it bring forth much fruit." The picture of a grain of wheat dying was a very popular idiom throughout the Middle East. We know that the destiny of the seed grain is to be buried. And when the outer shell dies, the inner germs of life bring forth much fruit. So Jesus was like a grain of wheat destined to die in order to give abundant life to the world. You see, Jesus knew all these things, the reason why he came to this world. And he compared himself to the seed, a grain of seed. And the last picture of the death of Christ is that of the good shepherd. And the emphasis is on the willingness of Christ as a good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Our Lord was not murdered against his will. He was willingly offered himself to die for our sins in order to secure the salvation for us believers. As John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18 says, "Therefore do my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, no man from me, but I lay it down of myself," his willingness, of myself. "I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up." So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ knew perfectly well His mission on earth is to die, to suffer. Why did he do all these things? Why did he need to do all these things? Well, the answer is love. The cross revealed the love of Jesus for us sinners. He was willing to come to this world because he loved us. He wanted to save us. Therefore, he made this decision. He was willing to die a criminal death on the Roman cross for our sins. We can see his love for us when he was crucified on the cross. We all know this very well, right? Apart from this, we can see he revealed his love while he was on the cross. What are they? On the cross, he was willing to forgive his enemies who were strongly against him. Will you forgive your enemy? Especially treated you so badly, mock you, hit you. Well, Jesus forgive them. How do I know? Well, he prayed. He prayed to God the Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you see that? That is love. God not only loves us sinners, he loves his enemy. If you are strongly against God, God will still tell you, I love you. Come to me. That's the first thing. Secondly, on the cross, in spite of his great suffering and grasping for breath, he revealed his love for who? For Mary, his earthly mother. You see, he kept the fourth commandment. Many of us will think, oh, we'll forget our parents. We say, oh, okay, it's all right, it's okay. But Jesus, at his great suffering, still think of his parents. And he told John was there. You know what he says? Behold, thy mother. Thy mother. What does that mean? John, take care of Mary. That's what he meant here. And then he looked to Mary. Mary, woman, thy son. He was pointing to John. So Jesus committed Mary to John to take care. You see, he really loved his family members. Finally, the greatest sinners on the cross, who were they? Two of them, right? On the right hand, on the left hand. On the right hand is the one who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today, not tomorrow, today, thou shalt be with me in, where? In paradise. In the place where I am going. I will see you there. Come with me. You see, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ not only loved his parents, Mary, but he loved the greatest sinners that need to be crucified. So Jesus loved all of us with everlasting love. He wants us to love him as the Father loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to love him the same in the same way. And he wants us to love one another. Love one another. As he has loved us. And I thank God many of you do love one another. Practice your love. When any newcomer comes in, you show your love to them. That's a good sign. But don't stop. Continue to do it. Show your love to those who come to this church. That's what Jesus commands us to do so. And as we think of all these things, amazing love, right? So amazing. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? So may God help us as we meditate upon this Good Friday, think of his love for all the people, think of the love for his enemies, for his parents, for even the greatest sinners. May God help us, not only just to remember, but to practice our love wherever we go. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious love that shown us at Calvary, that you truly love all the people. Not only send the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, but also send Jesus to suffer for our sin, to die for us, in spite of our waywardness. Lord, if there is anything that we have done that is against you, we ask for your forgiveness. Help us from today onward that we will live a new life in Christ that will shine for thee wherever we go. We give thanks all this in Jesus' name. Amen.